The Live for the Moment diversions of La Belle Époque anchor a new production of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, opening October 25th at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts. The classic tale overturns notions of traditional romance and gender roles. The director is Nick McMinn, and he says, sure, this is one of Shakespeare's most delightful and fun comedies, but it's also remarkably flexible and allows for multi-layered storytelling.
It's one of Shakespeare's delightful twin comedies. So there's twins with mistaken identities. So there's lots of hijinks and fun with that. There are several characters that have enormous personalities and get involved in pranks. It also has one of Shakespeare's strongest female characters.
Tell us about her.
So she finds herself washed ashore after a dreadful shipwreck in which, as far as she knows, her brother died.
And this is Viola.
Viola, yes. And so she has to make her way in the world, a world that might not be friendly to her. So she adopts a new persona, that of Cesario, a male, and goes to work for a duke. Throughout the process, she learns a whole lot about herself. She grows as a person, becomes much stronger. And by the end of the play, she's a fully realized, confident, self-possessed woman.
And she falls in love, too.
She does, with her employer.
Which is tricky.
Yes, who thinks she's a very helpful male assistant.
So this is where some of the fun comes in.
Absolutely, and her boss, Duke Orsino, is in love with Olivia across town, and he keeps sending Cesario, of course, who is Viola, to go woo her for him. So she is wooing a woman on behalf of the man she is in love with.
And Olivia actually ends up falling in love with Viola, but she doesn't know it's Viola.
That's correct. So it is a perfect love triangle in which nothing is matching up and everyone's in love with the wrong person.
Well, wait a minute. What happened to Viola's twin?
He washes up on shore, is rescued by someone else who falls in love with him. It's one of Shakespeare's most obviously gay characters, Antonio, the former pirate, who falls in love with Sebastian, her brother. And through lots of circumstance, Sebastian finds his way into the same town, and people that know Viola as Cesario start mistaking Sebastian for Cesario, and there's all sorts of fun misunderstandings.
There are challenges to doing Shakespeare, and there are pleasures to doing Shakespeare. So tell me about what those are for you.
Well, for both, I think it's the language. So the pleasures of doing Shakespeare is some of the finest poetry and dramatic structures of the English language. Shakespeare was one of the first to give his characters a more interesting inner life. Contradictory personality traits, things that we see in people that weren't often represented on the stage. That allows us a lot of flexibility, which allows us to play with it and use it today. Of course, like as you mentioned, that does come with some challenges. There are antiquated references. There are jokes that don't work anymore. Twelfth Night has quite a few of those, which are very funny after you do the research.
And so what are you doing? Are you updating them? How are you setting the play? Are you modernizing it in some way and then helping to sort of modernize the jokes?
Yeah, for a lot of the very specific jokes, I'm afraid they had to move along.
So they were cut, in other words.
We were really interested in authentic living, and I was interested in some of the struggles and outlook of millennials and Gen Z. And I was looking at how that applied to this play, and I started thinking of the bohemian culture in Paris in the 1890s, specifically in the Montmartre neighborhood. I think most people would be familiar with this from the Moulin
Rouge. Like La Bohème?
Yeah, Moulin Rouge. So the dance halls, Vincent van Gogh, that kind of thing. Living for the moment, we have nothing, so we might as well find joy in what we have here. And when applied to Twelfth Night, it just seemed to fit so well. There are so many characters that are living for what they have right now.
What can we learn from Twelfth Night and your approach to it with regards to upending gender?
With our idea of living authentically and trying to discover who is actually inside, one of the things I think that's really fabulous and interesting that's going on in our society right now is an openness to seeing gender as a spectrum, and same with sexuality. And so we've really approached all of our characters with that in mind. In Shakespeare's time, all of the women would have been played by men. So it would have been men playing women pretending to be men. So the idea that gender is already a thing that we perform, it's not a thing that's attached to your soul, was something that he was working with over 400 years ago. So we really latched on to that. We have characters that are extremely masculine, characters that are extremely feminine, people all throughout in between. We have straight characters, gay characters, people in between, people who may not realize that they have attractions to a gender at the beginning. After all, Duke Orsino and Olivia fall in love with the same person, Viola, who is exhibiting male and female traits at the same time. They end up with some questions at the end that are meant to be open-ended.
So traditional romantic roles, we really get to see these upended in this play. Is that a lot of fun?
Absolutely. And so much of this era is romanticized, and the value of love in our lives is heightened. And so they really are just fabulous roles to dig into.
How are you helping your actors with the language?
It can sound quite scary and dull if you just look at it on paper. But once you understand that all of these characters are just people who want stuff, and that's everyone. And when you focus on the thing that they want, they're objective with each other, the love they want from someone or the revenge they want with someone. Once you focus on that, the language just sort of slots in effortlessly.
Now, the title of the play is Twelfth Night. To what does that refer?
That is in reference to the Twelfth Night of Christmas celebrations, which was the biggest party of the year in Shakespeare's time. That party was the most raucous and the wildest party of the year, and was specifically meant for all of the rules to go upside down. In fact, it was not uncommon for a group of people who are having a Twelfth Night celebration to elect someone as the Lord of Misrule. And this was someone who would make sure that none of the normal rules of life were followed for that night.
Now, you're the director. Are you the Lord of Misrule over Twelfth Night?
Oh, no. I'm just somebody who's trying to coordinate all of these really talented people into telling a story put together. We are taking a hard look at society's rules and what's it like whenever they shift a bit.
That's Nick McMinn, director of Twelfth Night, opening October 25th and running through November the 2nd at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts. I'm Laura Kennedy.